true colors from The Desert Storm by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 3.
Padawan, how would you remove something from the ship without opening an airlock?
Obi-Wan frowns at the text string cycling through his comlink, sitting in a mess of fiber-optic cable as they attempted to reconfigure a malfunctioning stabilizer grid.
Trash compactor?
Obi-Wan texts back, before stripping more casing from the cable and threading it through the framework, where Mac took over making sure it connected to the right key.
Possibly, but unless the compactor were disabled, it would destroy the product,
his master sends back.
Morgue? Too far from the cargo base,
Obi-Wan replies.
And medical transports use incinerators as precaution.
Criff!
Mac jerks, shaking out his fingers.
Hit the wrong key!
Fried the wire, Obi-Wan guesses.
Yeah, Mac grumbles. And just reset the polarity. Again.
Obi-Wan sighs, abandoning the fiber optics and moving to help Mac reset switches back into the proper order.
Blue, blue, yellow, green?
He asks.
Blue, yellow, blue, green, Mac replies, then pauses. Wait, no, that's not right. Blue, blue, green, yellow, blue, Criff. Where's the droid? Little bugger zoomed off at the specs.
The droid was recalled because the sensors and the ventilation tripped again, Obi-Wan says. I'll go find it.
I keep telling the techs to leave the Karkin sensors alone. They're calibrated too sensitively,
Mac snaps after him.
Every Criffin time they update, we get this problem. And half the crew thinks we got bugs in the walls.
Obi-Wan waves a hand, acknowledging the other being's justified ire, and reaches out with his senses, trying to lean on his master's training to find the droid. To his disappointment, he can't discern between the droids, the ship, and the medical containers. Obi-Wan sighs and searches the old-fashioned way. He finds the droid at the third airlock, resealing the ventilation pipes.
Mac needs you back, Obi-Wan says. We tripped the polarity again.
The droid shrieks angrily and zooms off, Obi-Wan staring after it in bemusement, and then the Padawan frowns at the port the droid just sealed. Obi-Wan crouches down, running his fingers over the port. He glances up at the airlock.
The thing is that airlock vent pipes are more like sieves, and they only open when the airlock connects to another ship to swap breathable atmosphere.
But the thing is, you don't necessarily need to open the airlock to open the vents, and the droid just disabled those sensors. Obi-Wan eyes the access port. It's tiny compared to the ship's ventilation systems, which often doubled as maintenance access, too small for even Obi-Wan to fit. He looks back along the outer wall. There are four identical airlocks on this side and four on the opposite side. He can't fit in there, but medical-grade spice was transported in cylinders, and you could probably fit a dozen in each ventilation port when they were closed, and there were two ports per airlock.
Airlock ventilation ports. Disabled sensors,
Obi-Wan sends to his master.
Quite clever,
his master sends back.
When you can slip away unnoticed, come find me. Provided we don't drop out of hyperspace first,
Obi-Wan sends back.
Provided we don't drop out of hyperspace first.
They do not drop out of hyperspace first, luckily.
Were you able to verify that there were in fact supplies being shuttled into the vents?
Ben asks his Padawan.
Four of the vents were packed, Obi-Wan confirms. I think it has to be a droid moving the cylinders. Anyone else would be noticed, but the service droids are just always rolling around.
Agreed. Which means someone is transmitting a program to the droids and wiping them afterwards. All the droids on the previous vessels were scanned, and no such outlying programming was discovered.
So someone has to be on board to actually distribute the orders and cover it up, Obi-Wan says.
Ah, but that's the easy part of our mission, young Padawan. Every individual on board will be quarantined upon arrival in Shangri-La to be questioned by judicial forces and possibly a Jedi. I've already been in communication to that effect.
Not us, Obi-Wan asks.
Probably not, Ben shakes his head. We've discovered how, but we have also been tasked to, if possible, track down where that lost product has gone, which means we need to follow this stolen cargo as it moves.
But if it's just being shunted into empty space,
Obi-Wan frowns.
Tell me, Padawan, Have you had EVA training yet? Ben smirks. Yes? Obi-Wan says, turning that frown on his master and crossing his arms pointedly. But how do we get in the other vessel?
Hopefully the same way the stolen cargo does, Ben replies, amused.
His Padawan really needs to learn that sometimes these things just come as they will. More often than not, the Force provides by sheer dumb luck.
Hopefully,
his Padawan asks skeptically, voice rising an octave.
That's quite a bit more than those 8 airlocks could fit,
Ben comments, voice crackling slightly over the spacesuit's comlinks as he watches the cylinders drift lazily in the black. Their opportunities had come halfway through the next dawn cycle, and they had left the Saracena the moment Obi-Wan confirmed that the vents had been opened.
Obi-Wan? Obi-Wan? It's beautiful,
his Padawan breathes raspily. And Ben looks over to see him floating in repose, head tilted back to stare across the disk of stars and nearby gas clouds, glowing gold-green. Ben smiles in spite of himself and lets his Padawan enjoy the moment.
It is,
he agrees. If there was one thing he truly missed about Tatooine, it was the clear desert nights when you could see half the galaxy in the sky. He also remembers holding himself up in the observatory at the temple whenever he and Qui-Gon were particularly at odds, and losing himself in the dazzling expanse of luminescent star charts.
The cargo bay door's pressure regulators,
his Padawan says after a few minutes.
They operate on the same principle as the airlock vents, and they're much bigger.
Ben had surmised as much, but he's glad his Padawan is staying focused. The Force prickles with anticipation just a moment before the ship appears out of hyperspace, and Ben lays a hand on his Padawan's suit.
Hold very still,
he orders. Their suits buzz as they are scanned, but Ben has wrapped the void of space around them both, and they are passed over as simple debris, even by the machines. It was a trick he learned late in the Clone Wars, and cursed himself for all the lives lost because he couldn't figure it out sooner. He and Plo Koon had gotten ceremonially drunk together when they had met up so that Ben could pass along what he had learned. Commander Wolf had joined them, and together they uttered the litany for his wolf pack, lost against the malevolence. They could have been saved if they had known then what he knows now. So many could have been saved if they knew then what he knows now.
They will be, he swears to himself.
The hold on the ship opens, and an automated tug retrieves the cylinders and crates while Ben moves himself and his Padawan with the Force so as not to draw attention with their thrusters, and they drop down into the ship's artificial gravity. It's easily of a similar class as the Saracena, though far more modified and half-built of scrap.
Spice frigate,
Ben mutters dourly.
I have a bad feeling,
Obi-Wan says nervously, and Ben nods, drawing his Padawan deeper into the shadows of the ship's bay. The Force feels darker here and prickles with warning. The doors close, and they nearly fall over when the hold repressurizes, Ben just catching his Padawan and holding him against the wall, himself holding on to a weld in the bulkhead.
We do not want to be caught here, Padawan,
Ben warns, watching a hatch open on the far side, and a pair of red-skinned Deveronians step out, shouting at the droids. He can see the hilt of a laser whip on one's hip and grits his teeth.
Into the vents,
he orders.
What do you want fit?
Obi-Wan hisses, pulling off his helmet. You will, Ben replies sharply. But Obi-Wan glares back at him defiantly.
Padawan, he softens his voice. I can hide myself, but you must go.
I can't rescue you if you get caught,
Obi-Wan hisses tensely, upset.
Oh, Obi-Wan. I have every faith. But I won't get caught, Ben promises the boy, who clings nonetheless, afraid of being left alone.
Now vents. Work your way towards the control systems. We need to find out where the ship is headed, and preferably who it belongs to.
Fine,
Obi-Wan growls, shedding the EVA suit, which was too bulky to lend itself to stealth. His master takes it, gaze skimming the edges of the hold for a place to stash them.
Pant is going to kill me, he mutters sullenly.
She'll have no reason to, so long as you stay hidden and don't do anything rash, Ben says, ruffling Obi-Wan's hair and immediately regretting it when he feels the slick glide of mechanical grease.
Weren't you wearing a cap? He mutters, wiping his hand off on his tunics. Lost it somewhere. Obi-Wan shrugs. You're the one who sent me off to play mechanic. Right, Ben sighs. And he and his Padawan slink along the bulkhead, Ben using the Force to silently pry off the nearest access hatch. Obi-Wan gives him another seeking look before he crawls inside, trepidation wafting off of him in the Force. Ben tries to soothe it over with reassurance, but then his Padawan ducks out of sight, and Ben has to fix the panel back in place and find somewhere to stash their EVA suits. Right, he sighs again, one eye on the Deveronians inspecting their cargo.